We already remarked that today is both Mother's Day and the sixth Sunday of Easter. Well, let's reflect a little bit on the Easter part. We'll be blessing the mothers at the end of the Mass. But here we are. Easter Sunday was 5 weeks ago, so this is the sixth Sunday. Next Sunday is the Feast of the Lord's Ascension, and 2 weeks from today is Pentecost Sunday. So I mentioned this flow of the Easter season because it will help us make sense of today's scripture readings, especially today's gospel. You see, the ascension of Jesus prepares the way for the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and today's liturgy prepares for next Sunday, Jesus' ascension. So we're looking forward now. We're not so much looking back to Jesus rising from the tomb. That's supposed to have sunk in already. We got it, that Jesus is alive or risen. But now we're looking forward to the next stage. And notice what Jesus says here in the gospel. He speaks about leaving, but then he says, "I will not leave you orphans." Well, is he leaving or is he not leaving? He says that the world will no longer see him, but we will see him. Because I live and you will live. Well, what does that mean? It's very mysterious, this language Jesus is using at the Last Supper. But then there's this important clue. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always." And we're naturally asking, another advocate? Why does he say another one? Well, because he himself is the first advocate. He, Jesus, was sent by the Father to reconcile us to God and to one another. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as we heard last Sunday in the gospel. Jesus is the one. His mission is definitive and perfect and irreplaceable and infinite. Yes, he's the center of our faith. So then why do we need another one? Why do we need another advocate? Because Jesus will ascend to the Father, and we will no longer see him. Well, how can he ascend and remain with us at the same time? How can he finish his earthly mission and continue it at the same time? I know it sounds like I'm speaking in riddles. I'm not doing that on purpose. I'm building up to, you can probably tell, I'm building up to the mission of the Holy Spirit. Now is the time to start looking toward the Holy Spirit and understanding more deeply the Holy Spirit. The other advocate is the Holy Spirit. Because of the gift of the Spirit, we are not orphans. Because the work and the mission and the power and the redeeming grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ remains available to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I said today's liturgy is preparation for next week, for Jesus' ascension, and ascension is preparation for Pentecost. Well, let's look for a moment at what Jesus says about this advocate. Actually, the Greek word is parakletos, which is sometimes transliterated as paraclete. It's a very hard word to translate into English because it has a lot of rich meanings. It means someone whom we can call upon to help us. What do you call someone like that? Someone who you can call upon to help you? Well, it depends on the nature of the need. That's why advocate is a good translation, or counselor, or helper, or intercessor, or guide, or comforter, or aid, or attorney. We call on people. We call on all these different people in these roles to help us. Samabuting balita sa Tagalog, patnubay ang Espiritu Santo. Patnubay, sabi ni Jesus. Dadalangin ako sa Ama at kayo'y bibigyan niya ng isa pang patnubay na magiging kasama ninyo magpakailanman. So the first thing we know about the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is that he is on our side. He's someone we can call upon, someone we can rely on. He's our advocate. He speaks for us. He helps us. And Jesus says, he will be with us always. Magpakailan man. He'll always be with us. Now, when God makes a promise like that, we can be absolutely sure of it. God keeps his promises. When he promises to send the Spirit, that means he will do it. So, Jesus says of himself, in another gospel, he says he himself will be with us always until the end of time. And when he ascends, he does not leave us, but he remains with us by means of this advocate, this paraclete. So that's why we're not orphans. We're not orphans because the Spirit of the Father and the Son is with us, is in us. Okay, the next thing that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit is that he is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees him nor knows him. He's the Spirit of truth, ang Espiritu ng Katotohanan. And the world doesn't see him or know him and can't accept him. Well, isn't this an accurate description of how truth is so often treated in the world? The world cannot accept the Spirit of truth because truth is both freeing and challenging. Truth is both enlightening and demanding. A truth stands on its own and it demands a response. If we don't want to make a response, we will deny it. We can't change the truth. We can't manipulate the truth. And that's how the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, that sounds wonderful to us that we have a divine advocate, a divine counselor. But when this advocate reveals the truth to our conscience, well, it can be challenging. Sometimes we don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us, or our nature doesn't want. But this is what he's doing. He's continuing the mission of Jesus Christ in us and through us. Jesus, remember last Sunday, he revealed himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And he said not everyone knows him or accepts him. Not everyone accepts his way, or his truth, or his life. Well, here the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the way. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of life. He is a truth-giving, or truth-revealing, life-giving helper and guide. So, and the Spirit is the one who makes it possible for us to truly live as Christians, to truly live as missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. After all, by ourselves, we can't do it. We're too weak. We're too inconstant. We're too often sinful. How can we live by the commandments, as Jesus calls us to do? How can we love our neighbor? We know that that's the commandment, but some neighbors are very hard to love, especially our enemies. That's part of the commandment, love your enemies. How? How can we forgive those who harm us or who have betrayed us? How can we persevere in hope when everything seems to be going wrong? How can we trust in the promise of eternal life when we see so much death? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're being told here. We have someone to help us do what we're called to do. We're not on our own. We have someone to call upon. And this is where knowing and calling upon and following the guidance of the Holy Spirit is very practical. This is not simply a lot of flowery religious language. The Spirit makes what is difficult for us, or even impossible for us, truly possible. That's why I say it's very practical. Because we need this help all the time, the help of the Spirit. Look for a moment at what St. Peter says in today's second reading. This is from St. Peter's first letter. He says, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. Well, that sounds great, always be ready to give an explanation, but it's not always easy. Sometimes we're distracted, sometimes we're busy, sometimes we're not, we don't know what to say, we don't know how to tell people what they're asking, and sometimes we're afraid of how they're going to respond. It's hard to be ready to explain why we have hope in Jesus Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit helps us do it. Then St. Peter says, but do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear. That sounds great too, but it's also a challenge. How to share what we believe and why we hope in Christ without losing our patience, without judging those who disagree, without giving up. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, so we can do the very thing St. Peter's saying here. A little further down in the reading, he says, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. Well, suffering for doing good. This is more common than we might realize. Think of your own experience of suffering for doing good, or suffering in spite of the fact that you're trying to do good. Well, you do someone a favor, and they misinterpret it, and they get angry at you. Well, that backfired. Or you do your job properly, you do it well, you do it honestly, and you get blamed for what went wrong. That's hard to take. Have you ever been falsely accused? Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever been publicly humiliated for being the guilty one when in fact you were actually innocent? It's very hard to take. We feel the injustice of it. We feel the pain of it. We get angry. Might fall into anger or self-pity, resentment. But St. Peter says, better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And our nature says, well, better to suffer for doing good. Better not to suffer at all. That's what we think. Better not to suffer at all. But this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit helps us transcend our natural reactions, helps us transcend our natural limitations. How else could we do it? We can do it because we have a divine advocate, the Paraclete. We can persevere because the Spirit is at work in our hearts. We can love because the Spirit of love is at work in us. So as we journey toward Pentecost in these next 2 weeks, let us open our hearts. Let us call upon the Holy Spirit.